And now a story not for young ears. After a father in Glasgow, Montana, admitted to repeatedly raping his 12-year-old daughter, a judge sentenced him to essentially just 60 days in jail. And now 75,000 people have signed a Change.org petition to demand the judge be punished. Now, we're not saying the father's name to protect the daughter, but District Judge John McKeon also said he was protecting the victim with his ruling. And he pointed out that state law allows an exception to the mandatory minimum 25-year sentence for incest if the victim is 12 years or younger. Why is that, and what is this law? Montana Assistant Attorney General Dan Gunzinski was appointed to a commission to study the law and is proposing eliminating that exception. Dan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And we know that this law is one of many so-called Jessica's laws that came after that terrible story out of Florida. Jessica Lunsford, brutally sexually assaulted and murdered, led to the 2005 law in Florida that requires a mandatory sentence. Tell us more about the law.
Yeah, in 2007, Montana enacted a Jessica Laws provision, which just created harsher penalties for individuals convicted of child sexual abuse, especially when the victim is 12 years of age or under. And what it did, Robin, was created a mandatory minimum of sentence that the judge has to impose in these situations. And the judge shall impose a 100-year sentence with no opportunity for early release or parole for the first 25 years.
Right. Well, and then there's the exception. There's a couple of them, but cite the one that everybody's concerned about now.
Yeah, most of the exceptions are narrowly tailored to accomplish a specific goal. But the one that's been proven to be problematic is 4618.222.6. And what that states is that if a judge determines based on a psychosexual report that residential treatment affords a better opportunity for rehabilitation of the offender and for the ultimate protection of the victim and society, that the judge can depart from Jessica's law and sentence to somebody lesser than what the law calls for. Yeah. And that's what happened in Glasgow.
Well, and Judge McKeon wrote in this rare explanation of what he did that he received letters from the mother and grandmother of the 12-year-old girl saying that it would be far better for the family, especially the sons, they said, if the father was home and the family was intact. And as you say, apparently somebody who did a report on him, an analysis of him, felt it would be better. But it strikes me that one of the problems with this is the unevenness of who's doing that analysis, that psychosexual analysis, because you've seen cases where the opposite decision is made.
Yeah, last year I had a case in Great Falls, Montana, where I prosecuted an individual for raping his daughter. And that person had a favorable evaluation. And the court found, I think rightly so, that the exception didn't apply. There's no basis to ever conclude that in that case that the community was safer with having that child rapist within the community.
And he was sentenced to 25 years without parole.
He was. And I've had lots of cases. I mean, this is really the first time that this exception has been used, to my knowledge, in a Jessica's Law case. I'm not saying it hasn't been in Montana, but I'm not aware of any other case where this exception has been applied to a Jessica's Law case. And the difficulty is that you're right, Robin. You have such disparity in sentencing where one person is going to spend 25 years in prison without parole, and the person in Glasgow is going to get essentially probation.
But how do you recommend fixing this? Shouldn't there be some way that a judge does not have to do the automatic 25 years mandatory?
Well, there are other exceptions we talked about that are narrowly applied to allow for the exception. But the problem with this exception, Robin, is it's so nebulous. This exception talks about that if an evaluator says that somebody can be treated in the community and that the community is safer with that person in the community. And I just don't see when that would really ever occur. I'm not saying it's an impossible burden for a court to establish this exception, but it seems like it would be so rare and even perhaps non-existent that this exception would ever apply. And so I think there are times when we should have exceptions to mandatory minimums, but I just don't think this is an exception that should go forward because it's not narrowly tailored. It's not well defined.
Well, we're going to follow this story because obviously many people agree with you, and we'll see what happens there. Montana Assistant Attorney General Dan Kaczynski, thank you.
Thank you.